God's Word. I invite you this morning to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John has always been my favorite gospel, but John would not be my favorite gospel because I wouldn't understand it the way I did and do if it wasn't for the other three. And I don't know about you, but I love what John does with the incarnation of God's Son when he came and was manifested among us in the flesh. If there's one thing John wants us to know, is that this baby that was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, always was God. He was God every moment of his life, and he always will be God. He's an eternal God manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And no one reveals that aspect of Christ's life here on earth more than John. He wants you to know that from his first breath in the manger to his last breath on the cross, he was God. He always was and always will be. That's why the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's eternal God. That little baby was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. He already was and always will be. For he was eternal God who left heaven, heaven's child, and came a baby. I don't know about you, but the more I think about it and the more I study it, the more befuddled I become. It's hard to try to figure out. But I thank God that we can know it enough to understand it, to believe it. Amen. And I want you to see what John says about him. And I kind of messed that up a little bit, it looks like. But anyway, the NIV version says it this way. I got it on the screen. But the King James says, "And the Word became flesh," in John chapter 1, verse 14, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld," or "we seen his glory. The glory of the only begotten," or "the only one and only Son, who came from the Father, and he was full of grace and truth." I want you to think about that. The NIV says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus in John's gospel let us know real quick. He said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, for me and the Father are one." John's gospel shows us without a doubt the divinity of Jesus. I want you to think about this. I wrote this down where we can all get to thinking the same, right? We won't start this race off together. John's introduction unmistakably sets forth the divine nature of Jesus Christ. He was not just a child. He was the Son of God, which makes him God. If you look in the beginning of John's gospel, I love the way he starts that. He says, "In the beginning was the Word," the Logos, the eternal Word. It says, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then he changes it to, "He was in the beginning with God." Personalizes it. "All things were made through him." He attributes creation to this baby that was born and laid in a manger, who lived a simple life in the middle of nowhere that we would have never heard of had it not be that he was God. Who'd ever heard of Bethlehem? We'd have probably never heard much of Israel, except that was his homeland, God's. And it says, "And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life." So he gives the origin of life to Christ. And Jesus was life. And listen to what he says in verse 4. "And the life was the light of men." He goes forth and says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Then he shows us John the Baptist. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." It's through Jesus and only Jesus alone that we can believe and know God. There is no other way but through Christ that you can meet and know and have a relationship with God the Creator. He's the light that dispels the darkness. He's the one who gives life and makes it real the way God created it for it to be. And he says, "This man came for a witness," in verse 7, "to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Boy, there's a lot of light setting up for Christmas. But the true Christmas light is Jesus. He said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. For 33 years, I walked in darkness. Christmas was about all kinds of other things that secular has made it to be. But it wasn't until I met him and he turned on the switch and took me out of darkness that I began to understand what Christmas is really about. How about you? Thank God for the true meaning of Christmas. I love that saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. For if it wasn't for him, there would be no Christmas, whether you want to call it Christmas or not. It's not the holiday. It's not the Christmas. It's the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that we celebrate. And listen what he says. He says, he was in the world in verse 10. Ain't that good to know? He was here with us. He dwelt among us. He goes on and says, but the world did not know him. Sadly today, the majority of our neighbors do not know him. Today, if you know him, you are blessed. Amen. You are not one of the majority. I want you to know, in the world, you are one of the minority. To know him and to have him and to understand who God is through his son, the Lord Jesus, who came. And he says, but as many in verse 12 as received him. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was able to receive him by faith. His grace gave us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand and to desire to know God. And we were able to one day be enlightened by the Holy Spirit and the power of the truth of his word. And we got to that place where we knew we were a sinner and he was the Savior, the Messiah sent by God the Father to save his people. And we were able to receive that grace. Amen? Boy, life changed, didn't it? It should make you different than the person around you who doesn't know all that. And he says right there, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. To believe in the name of Jesus. And so John lets us know, by the time you get to verse 14, that Jesus is God. He says, in this word, the word, the Logos, who was with God in the beginning, who was God, who he gives the birth, the origin of life and creation to. He says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. That's the central theme of John's gospel. He's God. He's not just a baby. He's not just a son of God. He is God. The true God who reveals himself in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's as much God as he is man. He's the Son of Man, yet he's the Son of God. That's a thing to try to think about. Look at this. John's main objective is to convince men, when you read his gospel, that Jesus is God come to earth in the flesh, and that the acknowledgement of him as God is necessary for salvation. If you reject Jesus as God, you will not be saved. He's not just a son, he's the son. The one and only begotten of the Father. A Mormon will tell you, yeah, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, but he also believes I'm a son of God and you're a son of God. He believes we're all sons of God. But that verse I just read to you said to those who believed in his name that he's the only son, the one and only begotten of the Father, God in the flesh, the Word that came and dwelt among us, who revealed the glory of God to us. He's the only one who can make you a child of God. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You can only be born again by God. He has to do that. And we, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We've seen his glory. And I want to talk to us today a little while about we have seen his glory. Listen to this. The Gospel of John testifies that in the incarnation, we saw God's glory revealed in the person of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, when I read this, we have seen his glory. And this glory, it says, is full of grace and truth. The NIV says, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and we've seen his glory. You know, when you read the Gospels, There's a lot that we saw that Jesus did. He was not a normal child. Right away, you can see in Luke's account, when he was 12 years old, he got left behind at the Passover. And he went into the temple where the greatest religious and spiritual minds and theologians of their day were at, who knew the law inside and out, who knew the Old Testament scriptures, who knew everything that God had ever revealed to man through the eternal Word of God. You know why he knew the Word the way he did? Because he was the Word. John says he is the Word. And they were having a spiritual conversation in the temple in Jerusalem about the Word, and Jesus got left behind. So while Jesus is hanging out, he's asking them questions and he's giving them answers. And all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph realized 3 days out, if you read it, that Jesus ain't with us. They run back and they find him. He's in the temple. And it says that they were astonished and amazed at his answers and teaching. He was 12 years old. He wasn't a normal 12-year-old. Amen. Can you imagine if they, I don't know what questions they was asking, but I imagine they probably said, well, who are you? Well, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Well, where are you from? Well, on my mama's side, I'm from Nazareth, but on my daddy's side, I'm from heaven. Well, how old are you? Well, on my fleshly side, I'm 12 years old, but on my daddy's side, my real daddy, I'm older than time. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And then when they started asking him things, he knew what they knew. He asked questions that they couldn't answer. Because he was the living God, the Logos. And as you look at his life and you look at the glory that he revealed, he did things that nobody else has ever done. He took people who were born blind and gave them sight. People who had been born deaf and he helped them to hear. He did miracles that no one has ever seen. He walked on the water. He caused the stormy sea to be peaceful and still at the mention of his commanding word. He raised the dead, and the most of all, he rose from the dead. Amen. He was an amazing individual. And anyone who can look at him and not realize that he was more than a mere man, he was God in the flesh, you haven't really read the Gospels. But John wants us to know without a doubt that he is God in the flesh. And he says, for the law was given to us through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When he came, though, there's something that he gave us that I want us to look at today that we may not thoroughly think and understand how precious it is. Thank God today that Jesus has power to heal. Amen. That we can pray. And when we pray with faith and we believe that he can touch a life and heal. Thank God today that he has power to protect us from the enemy, to deliver us, and to do all sorts of blessings in our life. But guys, I want you to understand something today. Never forget that he came, and what John recognizes his glory, the glory that he revealed is that it was full of grace and truth. What do you think he means by that? Well, I want us to look at that for a little while this morning. When you look at what John says here, he says in verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, the one and only Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So when we see how God was revealed through Jesus, we see God. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful today that everything about God is true. That he cannot lie, because he's holy. And everything God tells us, you can count on, because it's the truth. And when Jesus was with us, he was one who, everywhere he went, proclaimed and personified the truth. I want you to look about that. The glory full of grace and truth. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but through me. Jesus is not only the way, he's not only the light, he's the truth. And you know, throughout John's gospel, we are shown over and over and over. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And where do we learn the truth from? Through Jesus. In John 14 and 6, I just put it up there. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But guys, I want you to think about this. From the beginning of his life to his end, Jesus came to reveal to us, declare to us the truth of God. When he was on his way to the cross and Pilate was questioning him, while he was being tried and he was fixing to be condemned. Pilate asked him a question in John's gospel. In chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore says to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answers, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I come into the world." Don't miss this. "That I should bear witness to the truth." Jesus said, "I am the king. And for this cause I came into the world, that I may bear witness to the truth." And you know what Jesus said? "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." You see, truth, if you're looking for it, you're going to be drawn to Jesus. If you have a true heart that wants to know God, not about a God, but the God, and you really, really, really want to be right with God and know him, Jesus, in his life, his example, and what he taught will bring you to God. That's why he says, "I'm the way and the truth, and no one can come to God but through me." And I don't know about you, no one ever taught truth like Jesus. Amen? When you look at Jesus, this is what the Bible says about his ability to teach. I hope sometimes y'all might feel this way about me when I get down from this pulpit, but I hope you'll never ever attribute it to me, because anything I have to give you, if it didn't come from Jesus, it's not worth receiving. But listen what the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, verse 29, that's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Are you familiar with the Sermon on the Mount? Many people say that's the greatest sermon ever preached. Man, you can read the Sermon on the Mount and no telling how many sermons you can preach out of his sermon. Amen? Pretty cool, huh, Justice? But after he taught the Sermon on the Mount, it's just three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. You can read it in about 15 minutes. So Jesus preached the greatest sermon ever preached, you might say, in 15 minutes. Us preachers, we struggling, aren't we? But you know, at the end of that sermon, what people said, listen to this. It says in verse 28 of chapter 7, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees." They recognized that this wasn't just a mere man. And then in Luke chapter 20, verse 21, even the scribes and the Pharisees said this about him. Then they asked Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but you teach the way of God in truth." So Jesus always taught truth. But guys, you know what I've come to find? Christians tend to lean one way or the other. Some of us prefer the truth, and we lean on the truth, and the truth is everything. And then some people lean toward grace. But Jesus was a combination of truth and grace. Have you ever met someone, it's truth, truth, it's all truth, it's in black and white, it's the law, and he has no grace? What he has becoming is a condemning, self-righteous Christian. And I've met people like that, to where the truth, boy, that's all they worried about. They're going to preach, "This is what it says. You better do what it says. Boy, this is what the word says." And it's all been black and white. And there's nothing wrong with upholding the truth. Jesus never once compromised it. But at the same time, Jesus was full of grace. And the perfect example of this is what he tells us in that passage we were looking at. It says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It says that the glory that he revealed, that we've seen, for we have all seen his glory, full of grace and truth. That's what John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was inspired after watching him for 3 years do ministry, to describe that glory. Now, that's not usually what we see as glory described as. But if it was all truth, it would be no different than the law, because the law was never not true. "I shall not steal, I shall not kill, I shall not commit adultery." All those things are true today, and they'll be true forever. But guys, listen to this. Jesus also displayed the grace like we've never seen. Listen to this part. Glory full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I've seen Christians who lean the other way. It's all grace. They don't hold anybody accountable. They compromise the truth. They forget about the truth and just let people do whatever they want. That's not real grace. Grace never, ever excuses you from the truth. Grace, thank God, helps you to live the truth. It helps you to be able to balance the truth. And that's what Jesus was. You see, remember when Jesus said this? He says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A lot of people think that he's talking about we're laboring from struggles and from afflictions, but that's not what he's talking about. They were laboring and they were heavy laden with the law. They were trying to achieve righteousness and be right with God and live a life that none of us can live. Have you tried to live the law? Have you tried to be real religious? Have you noticed that religion does not change you? That religion cannot save you? That the law, it only shows you that you need grace. Only grace can save you. Only grace can forgive you. The law shows you you need forgiveness, that you need to be saved. And Jesus said this statement. He says, take my yoke upon you. That's my teachings, my truth. And learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I don't know about you. The more I read the law, the more I get in Leviticus, the more I read all those rules and regulations, and the more religious I try to get, the more that yoke gets to be a burden. How about you? A burden that none of us can carry. A burden that is not easy, nor is it light. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And there is a perfect example in John's gospel. This is going to be a quick sermon this morning. I'm going to surprise you. If you'll turn with me to chapter 8. I was looking at this sermon, Justice, and last Sunday night you preached the perfect illustration of Jesus' glory as it revealed and was full of grace and truth with the lady in chapter 8. Now you got the Pharisees who are the law, come from Moses, and there's a bunch of them in the church, I'm here to tell you. We caught this lady. She's in sin. Caught her in the very act of adultery, Jesus. And Moses says that we ought to stone her. What do you say, Jesus? Now, Jesus, if he ever compromises the truth, then he's not full of grace and truth. But at the same time, Jesus didn't say stone her. But at the same time, he didn't condone what she did. And look at grace and truth shown through the glory of this man, Jesus. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, probably right after daylight. And he came again to the temple and he did what he always done. He's teaching truth. And the people came to him and he sat down and he taught them. So Jesus is teaching them. Then the scribes, that was lawyers who were religious type lawyers who knew the word and the scriptures. And the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And they laid her in the midst. They brought her up in front of everybody. Now how would you like to be at a church that did that? He brought her right up in front of everybody. Now Moses, it says, and look at verse 4. They said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. And I want you to notice, in the very act. They said, we caught her in the very act of adultery. Which means they must have seen her. So here they are, they brought her before Jesus. And they say, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. And Jesus stooped down and we know began to write in the dirt. Now we could all stay here till next Christmas trying to figure out what he wrote. But there's no way to know that. So don't get lost in that. But as Jesus wrote, he left them to think. And he left them long enough that they asked him again. It says, so then they continued asking him. And he raised up and he says to him, he was without sin among you, let him throw the stone first. You see, the first thing we learn about the law is that there's not one of us who's worthy to judge another with it. Because there's nobody in this room that hasn't broke the law. Now, Jesus does not ever condone breaking the law. Jesus does not, by any means, say that we can break the law. But the amazing thing about Jesus, unlike us, is that they who were lawbreakers themselves, who were guilty themselves, were ready to stone her to death because she broke a law and she was no different than them. You know what I think happened? He said, we caught her in the very act. And Moses says this. Have you ever looked at what Moses said? Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, the man who commits adultery, the man with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall both surely be put to death. Now my question is this. I think Jesus wrote in the dirt who was with her. Because they caught her in the act. Where's the man? He's one of them. Looks like a conspiracy to me. You ever been to church when they're trying to work out a conspiracy? It can happen in Baptist church. And boy, they can learn the law and they can learn the bylaws better than they know the book. And we can quote them and we can use them to manipulate. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to use this dear lady who they cared nothing about. They had no graceful concern for her. They could care less about her. She was just a pawn to get Jesus. They didn't have any love for her. They didn't have a burden for her hurt. They throw her up in front of everybody. Now, the man somewhere in there probably. But you know what amazes me? They said they caught her early in the morning. They knew right where to go and when to go. Maybe some of them been there too. Jesus might have started writing them down. Before long, boy, they went to dropping rocks. Because all of a sudden the glory of God is revealing grace and truth. And all of a sudden, I want you to understand that there's not a one of us here that can stand on our own before God. When she was thrown in the midst before Jesus, God in the flesh and her people, she had nothing that she could do but kneel and fall before him in shame. She was guilty of sin, as old saying goes. I don't know about you, I'm as guilty of sin. I have no hope except grace. But I don't know about you, I love the truth, I believe the truth. But I don't always keep the truth. Only one kept the truth. One of the amazing things about Jesus is not only did he proclaim the truth, not only was a personification of the truth, he never once broke the truth. He lived the truth. He was sinless. He had every right to judge that lady. And as they began to walk out and drop their rocks, he looked up and says, where are your accusers? Are there any who condemn you? And she says, none, and don't miss it if you look at it, Lord. You see, don't ever forget, he's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's the teacher, the prophet. He is the Son of God. God in the flesh. And guys, listen, when Jesus was here as God, he shows us God's heart toward us. Because we all should identify with that woman. He didn't condemn her. What did he tell her? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know what that tells me this morning? No matter what we've done, no matter how far we get from God, as long as there's breath in my body, God's desire is for us to repent. Go and don't do it anymore. And trust him for what he can give. You see, that's why Jesus' yoke is easy. If we still lived under the law, none of us could be here today. And you know what the Bible says? We looked at it last week. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus was under the law just like us. He was born of a woman. He was flesh just like us. He had every weakness. He felt every temptation. Yet he was always God. And the Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he could redeem those who were under the law. So that we could receive the adoption as sons. I don't know about you. I'm so thankful today that we're not under the law. How about you? Amen. That we are under grace. And Jesus is that beautiful picture of God's truth and grace being administered to sinners like me and you. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things about Christmas is not going to be what I get Christmas morning. The greatest thing about Christmas is what I got today. I was able to receive Jesus as my Savior. I was forgiven of my sins. I was purchased and redeemed and set free from the bondage of the law that I had broken. And Jesus just said, now go and sin no more, Marvin, and follow me. And do what I tell you and listen to me. And I'll lead your life. Now, how many of us here has led it perfect? But this is what Jesus says in John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What we got in Jesus is a relationship with God that keeps us truly in fellowship and communion with him. The greatest thing that you could ever do for Jesus this year is give him your sin. He wants them. He wants to take them and he wants to remove them from your life as far as the east is to the west. And it starts by confessing them, being honest. If you want grace, you got to have truth and being honest. You know what I have come to find? That the more honest and real we are with Jesus, the more he is with us. And so this year for Christmas, I don't know about you, but it's amazing to me that this God that we serve, who left heaven, came here, loves us so much that he's willing to forgive us. You know what the Bible says? We all know John 3:16. How many know that verse? What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How many of you know the next verse, 3:17? You know what it says? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know what Jesus shows us? The glory that he revealed is that God doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to save us. He wants to forgive us. You condemn yourself when you reject Jesus. Today, he loves you and cares for you. And I don't know about you, that's enough to celebrate no matter where we are this year. Amen? So would you stand with me? We're going to pray. And if you need to come forward today, maybe you want to come to the altar. Maybe you want to come and give your heart to Jesus for the first time. Now is the time for you to do that. Father, as we gather in your name, we want to thank you for Jesus, the Son of the living God, who dwelt among us, who declared your glory, a glory that was full of grace and truth. Lord, we thank you today for that grace. You tell us that we have all received grace unto grace. Lord, it's like the waves of the sea. It just keeps coming. And before that one wave can disappear, here comes another one. And Lord, that's how your grace is to those who believe in you. Thank you, Lord, today for your grace and your truth that is given to us through Jesus. And help us today to all obey and listen to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.